We have gotten so externalized that we have stopped going internal to see what it is that self is looking for.
Welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show.
What's the difference between me and you? Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo in a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals.
What is my life's meaning and what is the purpose of life? Today, we are going to answer those questions. Hey, guys, welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show. My name is Bedros Koulian, and we've got a great show teed up for you today. Well, look, if you want the short answer, what is your life's meaning? It is to serve humanity. Now, I don't know in what capacity you're going to serve humanity in. I don't know in what sector, what industry, what area, what form you're going to use. Is it going to be music or science or logic or writing or art, right? And all those things we're going to dive into right now. And if you want to know what is the meaning of life, I'm here to tell you it is time to reframe that. It is time to reframe that by saying, what is the meaning of my life? And so let me start off with a story. And I think you're going to find a lot of meaning and purpose in this episode. And hopefully, if I do my job right, guys, you will find your source of meaning and purpose in life and what you do. Because a life without meaning and purpose is a slow death. I'm convinced of that. So with that said, now I remember when I started working at Disneyland, and I started working at Disneyland, man, gosh, I was there 6 years, and I started working there probably I was 19, oh, I don't know. No, maybe 18 years old. And while working at Disneyland, I was able to go from being a busboy to a fry cook, to a dinner cook, to a sous chef. And so considering the times in the 90s, I was making really good money. Disney paid well, and I imagine it probably still pays well. And I was part of a union, and I had health benefits, and I could put as much as 5% of my check towards Disney stock. So imagine that, right? I could put 5% of every check towards Disney stock, which is awesome. Now, the only problem with that is when I ended up leaving Disneyland, I ended up selling all my stock. I did the math one time. Had I kept my stock and then sold it 20 years later, which would be whatever, let's say 5-6 years ago, I would have cashed out about $2 million. But having said that, we're not going to dwell on that because I've been blessed with great companies and businesses and the ability to produce wealth. But you would think that working at Disneyland, where you have job security, you have ability to advance, you have a great work environment, you got benefits, and you're in a position where you could invest in the company as part of your check. Like, a lot of people were known as lifers, right? If you work at Disneyland, and if you're listening to this and you work at Disneyland, chime in on the comments. I know you know this. You were known as a lifer if you stayed, you know, a decade and beyond. And many people did, and that's totally cool. But I remember thinking to myself, like, there's got to be more to life than this, where I wake up in the morning, go to the gym and work out, come to work at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I would work till like 1 to 9, 1 to 10 in the evening, go home, quick dinner, shower, get to bed so I can wake up and rinse and repeat. And I would do that 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week in the summer times when Disneyland was busy, and I'd get that overtime, right? And I remember thinking to myself, I'm making good money, but I this can't be all there is to life. Like, even in my late teens, early 20s, I knew that there had to be more to life. And so I started to ask myself that question, right? Like, what is my life's purpose? And what is the meaning of life? Well, and I started to dig into that. And thankfully, I had a great mentor. You guys have heard me talk about Jim Franco. And also, while I was working at Disneyland, I was also a personal trainer at that LA Fitness in La Habra, California. That's where I met Jim Franco, my mentor. Now, Jim Franco was in his 60s at the time. I was in my early 20s, and he owned this software company called Autolog. And Autolog did all of the technology for these auto parts stores where you're going to type what kind of oil filter or air filter your car needs, and it'll tell you, like, all right, you need need a Fram air filter, and here's the part number, and you go pick it up. So Jim Franco had a really lucrative business, and he would come in 3 times a week, and I realized, like, this dude's got multiple cars, he's got swagger, you can tell he's happy, you can tell he's doing something that is driving him out of a sense of purpose and meaning. It wasn't just a mundane, you know, rinse and repeat Groundhog Day, right? And so I started to ask Jim Franco, and he's like, well, you know, look, man, you like personal training. Like, that's probably part of your purpose in life. He said, why did you get into personal training? And I was like, well, dude, in high school, I was a fat kid. And then in 11th grade, one of my science class partners, Dave, got me into working out because he's on the high school football team. And man, he got me into working out and eating right. And I came back senior year of high school, like, lean and more athletic looking. I had lost 30 pounds and I felt like I had more confidence and self-esteem and self-worth. And people were, like, paying attention to me. And Jim, I liked that feeling. And I realized that when I got out of high school, I went and got certified as a personal trainer. And some of you know the story. I also went to Fullerton Junior College for a whopping 32 days. So that I, my thought was that I could get some kind of maybe I can get a bachelor's degree eventually, you know, transfer with the AA, get my bachelor's degree from some university in exercise science or something. But 32 days in college, in junior college, and I was like, this is not for me. This is not for me. And you've heard me talk about college before. I believe it is the biggest scam on the planet now. I believe unless there is a specialized skill or reason you're going to college, like you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a rocket scientist, you're going to be a certified public accountant, an architect, an attorney, there is no reason to go into sociology, anthropology, fucking business degree, a master's in business administration, marketing. You don't need a fucking college degree. You don't need to go into debt to go to college to get a degree and learn from people who profess but have never practiced this shit, right? Anyways, that's a whole different episode, but I'm sure I flared up a few people watching and listening to this episode right now. So with that said, I was like, you know what? You're right, man. I think my purpose is this. Like, I enjoy training you. If I had more personal training clients like you, I would actually quit working at Disneyland. Like, I could do this all day long. I could train 15, 20 clients a day all day long and still have energy and still be excited to come to these sessions. But man, I don't have any desire to go to Disneyland and work and smell like food at the end of the day and know that my life is, you know, every year I'm probably gonna get a 3-5% cost of living raise. And yeah, I'll have health benefits. And yeah, I can get a few guest passes in for the year and, you know, a few perks like that. But I don't want that. Like, I don't get any value, any meaning, any purpose out of that. He goes, man, I get it. I understand. And so that's how I ended up opening up my gyms. And that's how I ended up getting into the personal training and gym business. And that's how I ended up, you know, ultimately coaching and consulting gym owners and really building Fit Body Bootcamp, our international fitness franchise, right? Now we've got hundreds of locations throughout United States and Canada. And I share that with you because little did I know the thing that helped me transform my life and the thing that I wanted to do to get certified so that I can help other people transform their life was my part of my life's calling. But when you think about it, every single one of you, like, what if you were like, I don't know what my purpose is, I can tell you this, the overarching purpose is to serve humanity. In what capacity? I don't know. Like, someone who's a chef might be like, I want to serve humanity by making the most exquisite meals that tantalize your palate and, you know, just make you want to come back for more, right? A musician might be like, my life's purpose is to entertain. A comedian might say, my life's purpose is to make people laugh. An actor might say, my life's purpose is to get people to think and ponder and be a part of this movie, right? As they're watching it and experiencing it. And so if we know that your overarching purpose is going to be serving humanity, now we just need to figure out in what way will you serve humanity. Hey guys, quick interruption to the Bedros Koulian Show. I want to remind you about the Trulene Wellness Shot. I created the Trulene Wellness Shot because I wanted a product that was going to help you boost your immune system and fight off inflammation in your gut, in your joints, in your body so that you are healthy, you don't get sick, and you live an awesome life. Trulene Wellness Shots have these 9 ingredients that are going to absolutely help fight off inflammation and boost your immune system. Vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, ginger, turmeric, echinacea, B12, cayenne pepper, and black pepper. And every single packet is checked for heavy metals because our ingredients are top quality and we use nothing but top quality because we cut no corners. So you can use my name, Bedros, at Trulene.com and get 50% off your Trulene Tribe subscription. You not only get 50% off your first order, you also get free shipping. You get a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee so that if you don't like the product for some reason, which we have yet to meet anyone who don't like the product, we will give you your money back, no questions asked, and we will shake hands and part ways as friends. And of course, $1 of every order goes to Shriners Children's Hospital, which is a hospital system that I've been helping and supporting for over 12 years. They provide medical procedures, medical services, surgeries to children whose families can't afford these procedures. So go to Trulene.com, use code word Bedros, join the Trulene Tribe, you get 50% off your first order and then 20% off your recurring monthly orders after that. Back to the show. But before we even attack that, I want to really talk to you about the what is my the meaning of life about, right? Because I used to think, like, what is the meaning of life? And that's too much of a big question to ask. Like, I don't know the meaning of life. And as I started to research for this episode, I realized, like, there's fucking scientists out there. There's religious leaders out there that are like, no one knows the meaning of life. Jordan Peterson's like, no one knows the meaning of life. And what I realized is I kept hearing no one knows the meaning of life because a question well phrased is half answered. That question is a poor question. What is the meaning of life? The question should be, what is the meaning of my life? And once you can do that, you will figure out the meaning of your life. Now, of course, Ed in here needs to find the meaning of his life. I'm going to find the meaning of my life. And Andrew's going to find his. And Layton's going to find his. And Lauren's going to find hers. Like, we all need to focus on the meaning of our life. And collectively, if we focus on finding the meaning of our life, then as a whole unit, as a collective consciousness, we know what the meaning of life is, which is self-mastery, right? What is this show all about? Money, meaning, and self-mastery. Self-mastery is your first and highest purpose. Self-mastery is your first and highest source of meaning because you did not come with an owner's manual. Therefore, you don't know how to manage your thoughts and feelings and emotions. You don't know exactly what those thoughts and feelings and emotions get you to do in terms of reaction or responding to things or how you communicate and deal with people. And so oftentimes we end up making really bad decisions, impulsive decisions, selfish decisions, greedy decisions, decisions that end up hurting others because maybe we've experienced some kind of trauma. We've experienced some kind of adversity. We've experienced some kind of abuse in our life that's led us to stay guarded and protected, where now you're in a relationship, but you won't even let the other person in to that relationship. You won't let them close enough to your heart for them to feel like they can give you the love and the connection, and you're always keeping people at arm's length. Like, all those things you have to heal through. The art of healing through your shit is the meaning of life. That is the primary meaning of life. It is only when we start healing through our shit that we begin to figure out that, oh, all right, in the process of healing, like think about what I did, right? I was a young man. I'm like, I'm tired of being fat. I'm tired of being invisible in high school. I want to ask this girl out to the prom next year, but I know she's going to say no because I'm fat and out of shape. And so I instinctively, not realizing this was part of my meaning, I instinctively was like, I need to get in better shape so that I increase my odds of asking this girl out to the prom next year. And that is what led to my quest of self-discovery, right? To discover the leaner, more athletic, more muscular version of myself. In the process of spending that entire summer of my senior year, working out consistently, eating clean, I started to develop newer traits and habits. I started to transcend from the 1.0 version of myself to the 2.0 version. Here I thought my goal was only to lose weight, get lean, and build muscle. As it turns out, it was more than that. It was transcending to a higher place because new development of habits were formed. Old habits were killed. New habits were developed. And that is what we want in life, right? And so with that said, when you ask that question, what is the meaning of life? You just need to put in what is the meaning of my life, which you know then it is to heal. It is to improve. It is to self-develop. It is to create growth in the categories of faith, right? A higher power and faith in yourself and faith in the people around you. In the category of fitness, mental, physical, and emotional fitness, right? In the category of finances, there's the self-development that requires, a high level of self-development that requires making more money, being able to manage your money, right? And of course, in the development of, or in the area of family, right? At the project, we talk about the four F-bombs, and that's what they are: faith, fitness, finances, and family. And when you are building a better relationship with the people around you, and by the way, family isn't just mom and dad or brother and sister or your spouse and your kids. Family is the people around you that you have decided to make them part of your community. What is that relationship like? Are you serving them? Are you adding value to their lives? Are you expecting any value from them in your life, right? Are you neglecting them? Do you feel neglected by them? Are you allowing them to neglect you because you haven't done the work that's going to heal you and transcend you to the higher level so that you can say, like, look, man, this is how I expect to be treated, right? Think how many relationships are so fucked up because people don't let themselves get treated the way they should. They let themselves get treated the way someone wants to treat them, right? And soon you become a doormat. But so what do we do to start finding purpose in our life? Since we know the overarching version of purpose is to serve humanity, now we just have to go in what capacity, right? Well, there's one thing that's stopping you from actually finding your purpose. And the thing that's stopping you right now that's finding your purpose is overstimulation through technology. And I'm not just talking about this, you know, the iPhone or the Android that you got. I'm not talking about social media by itself. I'm talking about television, binge watching TV. I'm talking about video games. I'm talking about all the notifications from your social media. I'm talking about texting groups of people at a time, right? We have gotten so externalized that we have stopped going internal to see what it is that self is looking for, right? I know I've talked to you guys about this, that the human body, like my body is just a vehicle, it's a vessel. Consciousness is what is driving this body, self, right? And I'm able to disconnect from everything, all forms of technology, and observe myself and go, huh, what does self want? What does self need? What is self after? What satisfies self? What gives self more energy? What takes energy away from self? But if you are so overstimulated through technology, you end up externalizing everything. In other words, you're on social media, you're like, oh man, that guy's got a nice watch and they're flaunting their private jet. Maybe that's what the meaning of life is. Maybe that's what my purpose is to develop that. Oh shoot, look at that person. They're lean, they're jacked. Maybe I want to look like them. So maybe that's my purpose and meaning of life. Oh, look at this person. They've got nice shoes and they've got a million person following on Instagram. Maybe that's my purpose. In other words, when you are not going internal, when you are not internalizing and talking to self and connecting with self to see what you actually want and need, like what turns you on. The same thing that turns me on is not what's going to turn this next person on, etc. And I'll give you a great example of that. When I started to come to money, I was like, wow, I'm being asked to speak on stages. This was probably about 10, 11, 12 years ago. I was getting asked to speak on stages and I would see some of the big keynote speakers in nice three-piece suits. And I was like, dude, maybe that's what I ought to be doing. Maybe I need some nice high-end three-piece suits. So I ended up finding a bespoke tailor and ultimately ended up buying 8 custom three-piece suits at about $9,000 a piece. They all had the BK logo and the lining. I mean, they fit, designed perfectly for my body. However, the first 2 or 3 times that I wore them at events, I was like, man, this is uncomfortable. This is hot. I'm sweating in this three-piece suit. This isn't that everything that it's cracked up to be. I actually enjoyed speaking on stage wearing Chucks, jeans, a t-shirt, and hat. Yet I thought that to be a great speaker, to be a meaningful speaker, to be a purpose-driven speaker, I needed to have a three-piece suit. And so I put that on. I externalized. I saw what some of those people were doing out there. And I was like, well, if it works for them, it'll work for me. And that's the problem, man. See, you're like a receiver, and there's always a frequency coming to you. But when there's so much outside noise, you are unable to get and receive that frequency from source, from your creator. Your creator lives within you, right? Source lives within you. And if you can't hear what the creator wants you to do in terms of life, meaning, purpose, then the next best thing is, well, I'm going to look around and see what they're doing. That looks right. So maybe I need my ambition should be to have a fleet of fucking Rolls Royces and Bentleys. Or maybe I ought to have some fucking Lamborghinis. Or maybe I want to have a massive following on social media so I can flex that. Or maybe I want to rent private jets. And what you quickly realize is, or in my case, get a whole bunch of suits that I never wear anymore, right? In fact, I bought a whole bunch of nice watches too. And I can appreciate a good timepiece. I've got Rolexes, I got Cartiers, I've got them all, man. Bell and Ross, Bertlings, I've got them all. And they're all sitting in that the fucking giant box that winds them all up and gathering dust. Because again, I thought that's what success looked like. I thought that's what I wanted to do because I externalized and saw what other successful people were wearing and had on them. And I was like, I need that. In reality, I didn't. I know exactly who I am because as I went internal and I shut all the external noise out, I was able to figure out exactly who I am, which my number one priority is to make a shit ton of money so that I could, one, do a lot of good with it, to give to the charities that I believe in, which is Shriners Children's Hospital, Toys for Tots, and Compassion International, and to use that money to have absolute sovereignty and freedom, where I will never have to be dependent on the opposition. I will never have to be in a position where I don't have a choice, because money gives me choices and options. And so I realized my highest priority is to make money and make it in a way where I'm serving humanity. And I'm serving humanity by way of improving their health. Remember, I said some people could do it through fitness. Some people could, a chef could do it through food. Artists can do it through music or comedy or acting, right? An author could do it by the written word. It doesn't really matter how. A therapist could literally serve humanity by healing others, right? Through psychology. But we do know that having a sense of meaning and purpose is mandatory if you want to have a life that's not underpinned with anxiety, depression, and overwhelm. And in fact, if you look at the level of anxiety, depression, and overwhelm now, like in the last 20 years, it's continued to rise. And since 2020, the pandemic year where we were all isolated and afraid, right? Because when there's fear, doubt, and uncertainty, and 2020 certainly gave a lot of people fear, doubt, and uncertainty, and then isolated everyone. When that happens, there is a high level of anxiety, depression, and overwhelm. Well, guess what has followed with that? Now, studies are coming out that pornography is at the highest level of consumption ever. And why is that? Well, when you were stuck at home, you were bored out of your mind. When you're bored, that is your brain's way of agitating you and irritating you. Boredom is literally your body's and your brain's way of agitating and irritating you, asking you to go find something meaningful and purposeful to do. In other words, go find something that you can do that will help you release dopamine and serotonin, right? Well, you could either go and serve humanity, which takes time and effort, or you could pull up a porn site and rub one out and have that immediate hit of dopamine. And that's why there's a higher level of consumption of pornography today than ever before. And by the way, check this out. Suicide rates. 20 years ago, 10% of every 100,000 people would commit suicide. Today, that's gone up by 400% because 14% of every 100,000 people commit suicide. Again, why is it? Well, when you don't have a sense of meaning and purpose and you're bored and agitated, you feel hopeless. you're only going to watch porn for so long before you bruise and batter your penis up, right? You only beat that shit up for so long before you got nothing else to ejaculate. Ed, what you laughing at, man? Ed's back there giggling like a high school kid. He said penis. He said penis, man. He said penis, and you're gonna beat your penis up. But think about it, man. You're bored out of your mind. You have no sense of meaning and purpose. And if you have no sense of meaning and purpose, you're only going to do porn for so long. And then when you start feeling hopeless, you go, fuck, man. If I'm feeling hopeless and there is no hope in sight for the future, easiest thing to do is to exit and peace out. That explains why suicide rates have gone up from 10% per 100,000 people to 14% per 100,000 people. And check this out. Y'all have probably heard of the psychotherapist Carl Jung. Now, right before Carl Jung died, like this man is like one of the leading forerunners of psychology and psychotherapy. Right before he died, he published a paper that said approximately one third of his patients that he saw over his lifetime as a psychotherapist had no psychosis issues. They simply lacked meaning in their life, and they were irritated, agitated, depressed, and anxious, and would come to him for that. One third. I would argue, and I've got no scientific backing for this, but I would argue at least 50% of people today who are going to a therapist, who are seeking out psychotherapy, are probably just missing a sense of meaning in their life. And if you're missing a sense of meaning in your life, and there is no actual psychosis or need to work with a therapist to get over some shit, you just have to find your meaning. You just have to find the reason that you're here. The problem is, again, you are so connected to the outside technology, then you're externalizing, oh, that looks good, maybe I need to do that. That looks good, maybe I need to do that. Maybe I need to do drop shipping. Maybe I need to run ads on social media. Maybe I need to create a YouTube channel. You don't know what it is that you want to do because everything that everyone else is doing looks good to you because you are externalizing. There's so much sensory overload for you, my friend. If you just shut it all down and you go internal, guess what happens? That's called internalizing. You start talking to self, the higher self. So how does that happen? Well, you literally see people that have like yoga retreats, right? Where it's like, hey, there's going to be a 3, 4, 5 day silent yoga retreat. You hear about people that just decided that poof, I'm going to disappear and go on a 3-month hike through Alaska. And they are disconnected from all technology. They go on a 3-month hike through Alaska, disconnected from all externalized sources of knowledge, information, overload. And what do? They find themselves. Have you heard that term? Man, I went and did this yoga retreat for 3 days straight, just a silent yoga retreat, and I found myself. Men that come through the project, we take their phones away, we take all their technology away for just over 3 days, 75 hours. Guess what they tell us? They go, man, while crawling in the pit, for hours at a time, while hiking for hours at a time, being in the ocean and just being beat up by the waves, and then coming out on the sand and going through those evolutions. Over these 3 days, I found myself because there is no external stimulation. I believe this is why when you are in an area, let's say you go camping or hiking, and there is no cellular connection, right? There is no signal to your phone. It's why you come back more rested, more relaxed, and more connected to yourself. You found yourself. I believe this is also why when you take a shower, because you don't want to bring your phone into the shower with you, one of the few places that you are alone without technology pinging you, you have more creative thought. You have more introspection. You begin to go internalize for those 10 or 15 minutes that you are in the shower. It's not by surprise, I don't think. And so my challenge to you is, if Carl Jung is saying one third of his patients over his lifetime did not need psychotherapy, they just needed to find a source of purpose and meaning. To one, start healing themselves, getting over their shit, getting fit, losing weight, working through their mom issues, daddy issues, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband issues, wife issues, and then finding something to do that serves humanity, they would have been fine. Viktor Frankl, the dude that wrote Man's Search for Meaning, who was also in a German concentration camp, Auschwitz, Viktor Frankl says, so this man survives a concentration camp, comes out, he's a psychotherapist, survives concentration camp, comes out and writes the book Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl said that when in the concentration camps, when the people around him would lose their sense of meaning, like their meaning would be like, today I'm just gonna fucking dig a hole, I'm gonna dig the best trenches that I can, whatever the Germans had him do, right? I'm gonna survive until tomorrow. And the next day it's like, I'm gonna survive until tomorrow. When they had the sense of meaning, they were good. He says, as soon as they would leave, they would just let go of meaning, within a couple days they were dead. They were dead. Think how powerful meaning and purpose is. That in a concentration camp, that if you can lock onto some sense of meaning, doing something, you'll stay alive. But the moment these people lost their sense of meaning, they almost immediately, within a couple days, they were dead. Robert Greene, the author of 48 Laws of Power, says that you must find your life's task. The meaning of your life is to find your life's task. Just replace the word task with purpose, right? Because when you do, again, it's some level of serving humanity. How and in what capacity, what industry, what part of humanity, you need to figure out. That is the search that you need to go on. That is the journey, the hero's journey that you need to go on. That is the introspection that you need to do. That is the disconnection from technology that you must do so that you can go and find yourself. Because even though you're with yourself all day long, you are disconnected from self. Does that make sense? Joseph Campbell, I've talked about Joseph Campbell a lot. He talks about the experience of being alive. In other words, you could just live, right? Or you could make living an experience, like a journey. You get this one chance to have this life. Make it an experience instead of just live or survive on a rat race level. Right? And Napoleon Hill, you've heard me talk about him with his book, Outwitting the Devil. He says that people who lack definitiveness of purpose drift through life. They drift through life. Picture that, a river that's flowing and you're like a piece of hollowed out tree branch and you're just drifting through that river, bumping into this bank and bumping into that bank of the river and getting caught up on this little tree branch and then drifting along here. Without definitiveness of purpose, you are a drifter through life. Who wants that? So guys, what is the answer here? The answer is to actively create time and space to disconnect from all sources of technology. Because that is the one thing that's happened in the last 20 years. Technology has accelerated at such a high level and at such a mass amount that we no longer have time to ourselves. It's nuts that you are with yourself, but you are disconnected from self. So you must be an active participant in connecting with self. And the only way that happens is you must actively and deliberately figure out how to turn off all of the technology, do it once a week, for a day, maybe do it a couple times a year, for a week, where you disconnect and you go somewhere where you are in nature, where you are hiking, you are mobile, you are doing something physical. Because we also know that any kind of movement, riding a bike, swimming, hiking, jogging, walking, exercising, anything, any movement is repetitive. creates bilateral stimulation. So now if you don't have any external stimulation, you've turned that off, and then you've created, you're out in nature, getting movement and creating bilateral stimulation using both sides of your brain to get introspective and figure out what it is you're here to do. That is where you're gonna have the highest level of clarity. The challenge is, are you so addicted to your device that the moment your eyes open, you reach for your device before you even get out of bed and you start scrolling through social media, feeling like you're missing out on life, feeling like everyone else's highlight reel is a better life than yours, starting to feel bored, irritated, and agitated, therefore leaning closer to hopelessness and looking for an immediate bump in dopamine through pornography, through video games, through eating high sugary foods, through a vape pen, through weed. Think of all the different ways that you could get immediate dopamine instead of going out and doing something for yourself first to heal, to develop, to grow, to transcend to the 2.0, and then second, serving humanity in some capacity. I always tell people who are down and out, Pedros, I'm down and out, what do I do? I go, right now, this minute, go find a homeless shelter, and I'm sure they're either gonna be serving lunch or breakfast or dinner soon. Work that line and just serve food to them. Serve food to them. Oh man, I don't know. Well, guess what? The moment you go from selfish to selfless is when you start healing and you start feeling like there's hope. But it's much easier to reach over for that device and start scrolling, screen sucking, and getting caught up in the bullshit fake dopamine hits that do nothing for your life but make you hopeless. And year after year goes by, and what you end up feeling is regret, and you end up getting even more addicted to this life of peasantry. Let's be honest, to this life of being average, to this life of mediocrity. You're part of the sea of mediocrity, and you feel defeated, anxious, and depressed, and so therefore the cycle continues. And so I'm asking you to turn off your phone, get after it with your workout, get some sun, get movement, go out and serve humanity in some capacity. Don't overthink it, just serve humanity in some capacity. And when you figure out all the different ways, you are probably gonna have to check out several different ways. Like, maybe I'm meant to be a comedian. Maybe I'm meant to be a personal trainer. Maybe I'm meant to be a entrepreneur. Maybe I'm meant to be like I met a guy at a Walmart many, many years ago. Like, you know, I know people bag on these old people that are working at Walmart as a door greeter. But as I got to talking to him, he wanted to be there. He had a great retirement. He knew that if he didn't work, that while he has money, he has no sense of meaning and purpose, and therefore he would die early. So he wasn't there for the money. He was there for the interaction, because he always felt that he's a people person. And I forget the type of job that he had or the career that he had, but it was basically in the customer service hospitality world. And he felt so valued. Of course, when he retired, he quickly realized, I'm sinking into depression. And he says, so I got this job as a door greeter, and it's like one of the greatest jobs I've had, because I do it by choice, not because I have to. Could you imagine that? There's a lot of wisdom in those words. So guys, now you know the plan. Now you know the purpose of life. The purpose of your life is to heal, transcend, and then serve others. The meaning of life, we don't care about. The meaning of your life, we do care about. And that is what you are meant to do here. And if you do that, you'll have a pretty fucking awesome life. Now, don't get it mistaken. That doesn't mean that you won't have tragedies and unfortunate things happen to you. You absolutely will. That is the human condition. But everything you do during that time will be meaningful, purposeful work. Hey, listen, BK Live is coming up September 13th and 14th in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. I want you to go to bedroskulian.com/live to check out tickets for BK Live. We got three tiers of tickets. It is affordable, and you want to come out because we're going to talk about making money, having meaning, and developing self-mastery so that you can transcend to the highest level and do your life's work in a very meaningful way. September 13th, 14th in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. You could also find the links in the description down below or go to bedroskulian.com. And finally, I want to end with average is the enemy. Success is your responsibility, and change can take place in an instant when you are willing to flip the switch. I'll see you next time. What's the difference between me and you?
Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo in a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals.